Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. The jump season is flying along now and the road to Cheltenham continues with stop-off points at Newbury and Warwick this weekend. Newbury's card is Super Saturday. We get to see Lalamba return in the game spirit, Haiti Couleur's runs in the Denman Chase, and an absolute stellar lineup in the William Hill Hurdle, one of the highlights of the season. We'll be previewing all five live ITV races at Newbury in detail. We'll also be heading to Warwick, three races there, including one of our favourites on the show, of course, the Unibet Middle Distance Series Veterans Handicap, latest in that series, as well as just free runners, but always crucial race in the build-up to Cheltenham this race, the Kingmaker as well at Warwick. But we're going to start at Newbury. We're going to start by introducing the panel first before we do that. And joining me on the show this week in the top right, if you're watching along, is Racing Post journalist Matt Rennie. Bottom left, our betting editor, Keith Melrose. And in the bottom right corner, as always, is Unibet's Ed Nicholson. I touched on Newbury. That's where we are heading. Our first race of five there is the 1 o'clock at Newbury, the William Hill Racing Epic Boosts Novices Hurdle. Some big potential stars in the lineup here, which we're about to hear more for, but we'll spin through the market before we do that. And your favourite at 13-8 is Sober Glory. Cadastral at 15-8. Fancy World, interesting to see how this horse gets on his hurdles debut for Nicky Henson and Nico de Bonneville at 9-4. Cocktail Blue, 9-1. Last Round 40s, along with Typhoon Warrior, Laplander 80s. Air Apparent 100-1, Famous Shoes 200, along with Gulf Coast Highway. Matt, let's start with you. Fantasy World, tell us more. A very interesting one in the first at Newbury.
Yeah. I mean, it's a stronger race than I thought it was going to be for starters as well, with Sober Glory declared there. He's still in an extra on Sunday in a listed race, but it looks like he's probably going to Newbury. But Fantasy World is the fascinating prospect in this race. Four-year-old for Nicky Henderson, owned by Lady Bamford, who, as we know from Palladium, is not afraid to splash the cash for a potential good jumps horse. And this one was 600, knocked down for 600 grand after being a real progressive stayer on the flat last year for Andrew Balding, winning a listed race at Ascot in October over a mile and six. Only a four-year-old and taking on the older horses on the jumps debut. So it's some task been given, but to me that shows that the signs are that they might have a pretty useful prospect here. I think it should be absolutely fascinating. You know, his flat form suggests over jumps he might do better over further in time. But you know, this is a race that has produced top notches in the past and going back years now. I think Alpha Off might have won, you know, an incarnation of this race all them years ago and was a real star, obviously winning the Supreme. So yeah, it's a real good narrative to kick off the card. We could be unleashing quite a good prospect here.
Does he win, Matt?
He's got it all. He has got a right or tough task against Sober Glory, but I was with Sober Glory at Sandown two starts ago, and I still can't forgive him for that. So I'd be happy to back Fantasy World at the prices for sure.
Okay, Fantasy World is the one for Matt, of course, as he touched on Team JCB almost, the Bamfords chasing to win the JCB Triumph Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. Ed, we obviously know Nicky Henson Yard is linked with Unibet, your ambassador. Of course, we're going to hear from you in the course of what that stable is looking like ahead of a huge weekend. What can you tell us about Matt's Fantasy World?
Well, I haven't actually spoken to Nicky yet at the time of recording, but please do go to the blog the next half an hour to an hour. We'll talk to him. We'll get the word from Nicky regarding what he thinks of Fantasy World. But I mean, as Matt said, it's all there, isn't it? Very, very expensive purchase from the flat where he was rated 103. He's a four-year-old, obviously, running against novices that are a little bit older. But because of that, he's getting a big weight allowance. And I was interested to see what kind of horses he needs to beat a horse such as Sober Glory, who is rated 139 and is, you know, a horse that will be going to Cheltenham. And the Brooms told me that it's their most exciting horse since River Native when he won first time up at Chepstow. I had a word with him and they said he's the most exciting prospect they'd had since that great horse. So Sober Glory is going to take a lot of beating, but, you know, he's carrying 11 stone 12. Fantasy World, he's a four-year-old, obviously, so gets weight for age, but has 10 stone 4. That's a huge difference. And, you know, this horse is rated 103 on the flat. He's 9-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. Nicky likes this race. He introduced Chantry House in this race in 2020 as a novice, not as a juvenile. And the next race, Chantry House came third in the Supreme. So it's a stepping stone to Cheltenham for Nicky in this race in the past. And I just thought it's probably worth backing. I have seen the price has gone 4.7 to 2 threes. You know, you'll do well to get threes 5 to 2 now. But I was just looking at RPR ratings of horses first time out as juveniles, and Nicky's Peace and Co had an RPR of 1.48 when he won first time up at Doncaster in the Summit Hurdle. Even Pentland Hills at Plumpton had an RPR of 108 before winning at Cheltenham, obviously much higher rated then. Fantasy World wouldn't have to be, you know, that kind of horse would give Sober Glory a race getting this kind of weight. So yeah, I'm gonna put my hat in with Fantasy World. Just hope that the inexperienced hurdling doesn't see him in trouble. He's got 8 runs on the flat, so he'll be experienced in terms of the hustle and bustle. But it's a great race because Canestral's got a chance as well. But yeah, I'm really interested in Fantasy World.
Okay, 2 shouts for Fantasy World. And of course, you mentioned Cadastral. He beat Talk the Talk in his bumper at Newbury last season. So all sorts of strong form lines from the Dublin Racing Festival as well. Keith, what's your verdict on our opener at Newbury?
Yeah, I sort of expect Fantasy World to be more popular than this. So I might wait before I back Sober Glory, who's a good horse. He's unbeaten in bumpers. He won the bumper, the listed bumper on this card last year. Scooshed in on his hurdles debut. You know, basically, you put your hand over that blob at Sandown in December, which you have to do, and he's 20s for the Supreme, if not a bit shorter than that. That's the sort of horse Fantasy World's having to beat, and all his forms at Newbury. Last time at this track, he whizzed round here in something like 3 seconds higher than Racing Post standard, and he did it on the bridle. He's a good horse. You know, he's rated 139 on RPRs. Wouldn't be at all surprised if he ended the season 150. And then obviously he could go further. He's bred to stay quite a bit further. He's from the Fingal Bay family that Philip Hobbs did so well with maybe 10 or so years ago now. He's just a good horse. You know, we've got Fantasy World, who's got all that good form behind him, but he's got to come out first time and beat a horse of 150 potential. He might do it, but the horse with 150 potential 7-4, which he wouldn't be otherwise, I'll be backing him.
Yeah, okay. So it is Sober Glory for Keith. I'm in the same camp as you. I think this horse could be potentially very, very good indeed. Let's move on to the 135. This is the William Hill Each Way Extra Handicap Hurdle. Another competitive race in which the Skeltons have your favourite in Apar Denom. Below the radar for the Paul Nicholls team at 4-1. Krabili, 6s. Kintara, 13-2. Tranquil C, another one for the Skeltons at 7-1. Alan Tejo at 12s. Capalea at 14s, along with Gosh Halpost and good old Might Eye at the top of weight and at the bottom of the betting at 18-1. Ed, what's your verdict on our 135 at Newbury?
A bit boring, I'm afraid. I've gone for the favourite, Apar Denom. I thought that third in the Lanzarote was an okay performance. So a lot of improving horses that went into that race. And one of the old timers, Iberica Lord, won it, stepping up in trip. But he ran a good race in third, this Apar Denom, and now he goes up in trip to 3 miles, rated 1.24. It hasn't moved off that Lanzarote rating. The second went up 2, the winner went up 8. Two horses that have run since haven't done the form any huge favours. The second and sixth have both been beaten. But this horse is relatively lightly raced. He's won 3 out of 5 hurdle races. The way he ran, coming off that final bend, he was the only one chasing Iberica Lord, and he just stayed on one pace. So you can see why they're going up to 3 miles. I just thought this was a favourite's chance against some other horses that have been disappointing, and I think he'll improve for the step up in trip. So yeah, a favourite selection this time, James. Oh, okay. We're also going money back second in this race as well. So if you back a loser and it comes second to the winner, you'll get your money back with Unibet.
Thank you very much, Ed. No selection for you in this race, Keith, so we'll move straight on to Matt. What's your verdict here?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think Apar Denom's the likely winner, but as Ed's just said there, with the Unibet offer, I was looking sort of each way places. Obviously, it's three places, anyway, 9 runners. But I'm prepared to take a final chance with Quintaro. I know he's a 10-year on. He's very much exposed now, and he is in and out. He was poor at Haydock last time, but he's going off £1 higher than when a good second in this race 2 years ago. And after that, he went and finished runner up in the Potemps final at Cheltenham, which is really good form. And yes, he's 2 years older, but earlier this season, well, November, he did get to within 3 3/4 lengths of Impose Etoile, who. Obviously, he was beaten in the Cleve Hurdle, but it's a very good. He's a Grade One performer, and after that was ran a Crotswell race at Cheltenham, and he's just been eased slightly in the handicaps, but at the prices, he could be an each way play. But the real progressive ones are Pied and Om, and I can only see Quintaro hopefully maybe finishing second or third behind him. So I'd stick with Quintaro each way.
Okay, and a 13-2 shot Quintaro is as well. We move swiftly on to one of our Grade 2 contests on the Davy, 210 at Newbury, the William Hill Denman Chase, always a brilliant Cheltenham Gold Cup trial this. And Saturday's race, no different. Haiti Colour at the top of the betting, 4-7. No bid in the Irish Gold Cup due to the weather. So it's to Newbury for Haiti Colour. Will he be Britain's leading Gold Cup chance, or indeed will it be the jukebox man? Le Homme Press also runs here. He is 7-4. Leave of absence is 12-1 and risk in the ground at 40-1. Keith, let's start with you. We know you focus a lot on the big chases. We've got a Welsh Grand National winner here. We've got an Irish Grand National winner in here in Haiti Colour. Just give us your verdict on how you stand in the Gold Cup generally, of course, after the Dublin Racing Festival last weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses all beating each other in Ireland this year. I'm not sure Haiti Colour is really indicative of how I see the Gold Cup, actually, because when he won the Welsh National, he looked to me like the sort of horse that would plod his way into minor money in a Gold Cup or maybe win a weak one. My opinion of that horse hasn't changed an awful lot, but my opinion of the Gold Cup has, because that was before the Savills. I now think it's probably a weak Gold Cup, and I think he could win it. I think he's still get 14-1, I think, and that's still a good price. But that he's, I wouldn't be backing him at 4-1. You know, he's not a monster, but he's a very good horse. He's a real stout stayer, the sort of horse that will run a big race in a Gold Cup. He's got all that experience. I think he'll win this, you know, fairly easily. I don't think Long Press is quite the force of old. You know, he's still a well into the 160s horse, but he is 11 now. The Cotswold Chase wasn't a real test of a horse. You know, the Spillane's Tower beat him handily, but it was a race where they mucked about and couldn't get each other spaced out. So I don't think he's going to. I think it'll be an easy one for Haiti Colours. If you want him for the Gold Cup, I'd back him before Saturday because he'll probably tighten up after he wins it. The weather has sort of stymied my wise guy bet. I thought if the ground was a bit better, Leave of Absence to finish second in some form would have been a decent shout. He hated the bad grounds at the November meeting at Cheltenham, which puts me off a little bit. But he could still finish second to Haiti Colour. You know, he's got loads of form at Newbury. He's exactly the sort of horse for this sort of track. And I thought he might be the one for the forecast if the white ground was a little bit better. But I won't be having a direct bet in this race, I wouldn't have thought, unless the ground's more lively than we're expecting. Instead, I would just make sure I had Haiti Colour on side for the Gold Cup before he runs.
Good to hear, Keith, because I'm in the same mind as you. I think the other thing as well with that Welsh Grand National is it wasn't traditional Welsh Grand National ground. It's been a strange year when the Denman Chase is the real test of ground and the Welsh Grand National's good almost on the quick side of good.
True. I mean, when I watched the Welsh National first, I thought they let Bowen away with murder a little bit, and that O'Connell would have gone past if he wasn't a bit of a hound and hung in behind. But they watch it again and you do the times actually, and Bowen was not mucking around. He made sure that was a decent test, that Welsh National. It wasn't the easy sort of thing you think. And yeah, you're right. It's not like Nassalam's Welsh National, where the only one going forward at the finish won by 30 lengths. That was a proper test against up-and-coming horses, and he's beat them handsomely. So yeah, I think he's justified in going off high single figures for the Gold Cup.
Okay, that's Keith's verdict on the Gold Cup as well as the William Hill Denman Chase at 210 at Newbury. Matt, I'm going to ask the same two questions to you as those terms of the Cheltenham picture and as well as your verdicts on our four-runner race on Saturday, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open, and I find myself some days thinking Django Bar is going to be the one I want to be on the side on, but then sometimes I'm like, well, I'm with the jukebox man. I do think maybe this is a year when Britain, as a whole, England and Wales would have the golden opportunity to wrestle back you know, the Gold Cup. I don't think they've won it since Native River all them years ago, 2018. That was 8 years ago. Just purely because, as Keith said, they are all beating each other in Ireland, and as impressive as Factor File was, you know, I still have my quid. They have to go for the Gold Cup, but I still have my some doubts about him, even though he has been imperious the last two Cheltenham festivals. But yeah, I'm very much in sort of in Keith's camp. I don't think Katie Lecleur will win the Gold Cup. I'm more leaning towards Django Bai at this stage. Purely because we know how well he goes at Cheltenham, winning Arco over a completely inadequate trip. I think he's ready made for this sort of 3-mile-2 test, especially if it is, you know, good ground, good to soft ground, which we saw last year. But I think Hayter Cullors will win this. You know, I think he's just the best up, and he's the best horse in the race. He's the up and coming horse in the race. Say Lompresse is a brilliant yardstick, but it was sort of a weird old Cotswold chase last time round. Before I looked at the forecast, could have seen Leave of Absence running a really big race, and he still might do it. It's a course where he brings the best out of him, and it was a storming run in Handicap Company last time at Ascot. So I'd side with Keith here with Hayter Cullors at Leave of Absence forecast, but I'm just moving towards Django Bai for the Gold Cup. It's a bit of a flip of the coin for me between him and the Jukebox Man at the moment.
Okay. Ed, I'll give the same two questions for you, but I'll just Unibet prices as it stands at time of recording on Thursday afternoon. We've got Fact File 4-1 favourite for the Gold Cup, Django Bai. Matt's flip of a coin fancy there at 9-2. The other one is Jukebox Man, who's 6-1. Gaelic War 7s, Gallop and the Champs-Sens, and Hayter Cullors at 10-1. Ed, your verdict on the big one and Saturday's race, please.
I haven't got a clue with the Gold Cup. I'm really confused.
That's unlike you, Ed, for a change.
Yeah, it's just totally bamboozled me at the moment. Obviously, I'll look at it more details in the weeks to come. But at the moment, I wouldn't be having a bet in it, I don't think, from my point of view. However, in the Denman chase, I will be having a bet. And I go against all the experts on the podcast here. I think Lompresse is worth a bet at around about 2-1. And I'll tell you why. He's never run at Newbury, and he runs well at galloping tracks. We all know his record at Cheltenham is very good. I think Newbury will suit him. I think he'll go from the front. I think Hayter Cullors wants a fast pace. Obviously, a winner of an Irish national and a Welsh national. And he is being talked about as this Gold Cup pretender. But Lompresse ran really well in the Cotswold. I know people are questioning the form, but was it giving £6 to Blaine's Tower? If you just take that, that's not a bad performance. You could say that it was a funny race. You could say that the horses didn't run very well. Grey Dawning, maybe there was a question mark whether he was fully fit. But given the form in the book, if you looked at that, he'd have to be shorter to win here. I also have a theory about Hayter Cullors and the Welsh National. I take on board what Keith said. It wasn't a race that was running bottomless ground. But having worked at Chepstow and spoken to lots of trainers there, they are very worried about horses leaving their mark on the Welsh National when it comes to the rest of the season. I know Nicky Henderson often doesn't run any of his staying chases there because he thinks the ground at that time of year can be a damaging effect. Now, obviously, it was good to soft. And as you said, it was a quicker Welsh National than the years gone by. But the last 9 winners of the Welsh Grand National have run 73 times since they win their respective year's nationals. And there's only been 2 horses that have won one race each. So only 2 races have been won from 73 races from the last 9 winners of the Welsh Grand National. It does leave its mark. And I just worry that it may leave its mark on Hayter Cullors. Obviously, an improving handicapper who has aspirations of grade one with Gold Cups in mind. But I just think that Lompresse, this is his race for him with a question mark, maybe. And again, that's purely, I'm really, you know, grasping at things here, but 8-13, 4-7 with that kind of stat. And Lompresse looks to me the obvious choice. And I think that performance in the Cotswold chase was quite good. So I'm all over Lompresse.
Okay. Lompresse is Ed's selection there. Let's move on to the 2:45 at Newbury, the William Hill Game Spirit Chase, where we have a potential superstar at the top of the betting. Lalamba makes his return. He is 8-11 to win on Saturday, taking on Son Siegel at 9-2, Liberty Hunter at 6-1, Master Chewy 15-2, Calico 14s, Meet Me by the Sea 22-1, and Brookie 50-1 outsider. Matt, Lalamba is our favourite. Win, yes or no?
Yes. Wins doing handstands probably. And I think it's probably the perfect test for him before Cheltenham. We all know Nicky has used this route before with Altior and Sprinter Sacra, but the fact the race this time, he's got six rivals against him, battle-hardened, open two-mile chasers, and you know a few of them like Calico stuff. They're going to go a fair clip, and it'll put his jumping under a little bit under the spotlight to start with. You know, it was a little, not sketchy is the wrong word in the Henry VIII, but it just took a while to warm up. But I think he'd have learned a lot from that, and he'll probably learn loads more from this as well, with you know, being put to the jumping test by battle-hardened professionals essentially. I think he's just a top-class prospect, and with what's gone on in the Arkle from the Dublin Race Festival, from Romeo Coolio and Cargese absolutely slugging it out, you know, in a slow motion, finished in treacle in the Irish Arkle, to Copic de Bourg not even turning up and going to Cheltenham off the back of one chase run, it just makes me think Lou Lamba's almost bomb-proof, not only for this, but for the Arkle itself as well. I think it's going to be, you know, the perfect warm-up essentially.
Okay, so Lalamba is Matt's fancy. 8-11 to win on Saturday, 11-8 with Unibet for the Arkle at the Cheltenham Festival. Ed, I know we've got some content from Nicky to come over the next few days, but we know how much they love Lalamba down at Seven Barrows.
Yeah, and Lalamba's different from Altior and Sprinter Sacra, who, as Matt said, rightly won this race as a novice before for Nicky, because they were two-milers. This horse is a three-miler, I think. I think for the first time, like these star two-milers that they've had in years gone by, like Shiskin and what have you, they're actually saying that this horse, they can't wait to run him over 3 miles. So he's slightly different. And I think he showed kind of his stamina and his class, like stamina potential in his class at Sandown last time out. He's not rated too far away from the body of the field here. So he probably is going to have to improve again. And as a novice, you fully expect him to do so. Nicky was worried about the ground at the beginning of the week. He was far from certain from running. And because of that, you were getting 2-1 in the anti-post market. He's now odds on, obviously, that he runs. And that is a worry that they were worried about the ground, because it's going to be soft. It's going to be, you know, differently softer than maybe the Lumber would like. But yeah, I think you can't sensibly oppose him, I don't think anyway. So will be my selection. We are going super boost in this race as well. So from 9 a.m. on Saturday, you get the next price up on the ladder for any of these horses in this race.
Okay, super boosted rate, and Lalamba is Ed's fancy as well. Keith, is there any reason you might want to take on the favourite here?
The only one is jumping related, really. He remember that day he won at Exeter in his debut, and Copec de Bourg ran same day over fences, and Copec de Bourg jumps much better. Sending a horse to Exeter and chasing debuts often a bit of a red flag. They're easy fences at Exeter, always have been. And yeah, he didn't jump that convincingly. He was much better at Sandown once he got going, which is where that fear largely went away. But now he's up against, you know, hard-bitten horses. I also suspect if you really put me under pressure on it, I think he's big enough that he'll skip over Newbury's fences, to be honest, unless something goes badly wrong. But that's the sort of niggle, really, with Lalamba. He's possibly the best horse in training, aside from Sergio. He's very, very good. And obviously, he's not got any stars to beat here. I couldn't go in at odds on with him. I think there are better bets at shorter or nearly as short odds. You know, I'm much safer ground with Sober Glory, for instance, because he's got all his form at Newbury. He's got, you know, there's absolutely nothing to prove there. Whereas Lalamba, you know, he's a machine, but he's going into unknown territory a little bit. In terms of a bet in this race, again, had the ground been better, I'd have thought Calico was a really smashing prospect to pick up some minor money, but he is a horse that maybe is a bit one for better ground. St. Seagal's got loads of Newbury form, completely reformed character for getting bounced out. absolutely fine on the ground. He's actually a better horse than his price suggests to me, and would be the one to chase the Lambo home or take advantage if he does completely blob. But it's a race where I hope we get to see the Lambo be an absolute machine. I can't yet have the faith to back him at those sorts of prices, but I'm not rushing to oppose him either. So I hope we see a monster. We like to see monsters. So yeah, that's my view on Lalamba.
Yeah, we certainly do. And it'd be good for all involved, given what we saw at Cheltenham 2 weeks ago. So good luck to Lalamba. And that leads us on to the 3:20 at Newbury, the William Hill Hurdle. An absolute cracker to finish off the ITV action there. One of the biggest handicaps of the season. And given the weather, quite ironic, a favourite here is Let It Rain at 5-2 for the Skeltons. Of course, won Newbury's big handicap over fences, the Cole Gold Cup earlier this season. Let It Rain 5-2. All In You at 5-1. Second favourite, Unsana Levy at 11-2. Lanesborough for Ben Pauling at 7s. Tutti Quanti tops the weights at 15-2. Hot Fuss 10-1. The Hardest Geezer 12s, along with Dance and Glance. Mildam at 16s. Bubble Dubai at 22s. Godante 25s, along with Wellington Arch. Keith, we'll start with you. Talk us through the William Hill Hurdle.
Talk us through it. No, it's not a realm I spend loads of time in, but you know, I do enjoy watching the big handicaps, no matter the code, really. I thought Lanesborough was going pretty much to the top, or certainly top of as a handicapper before Kempton, and I think he'll do a little bit better for coming back in distance. But I no longer think that a race like this is one where I'd just be tucking into him. I actually thought the bet in the race was Tutti Quanti, who's been saved for it clearly since he won the Jerry Fielding here at the Coral Gold Cup meeting. Just a horse that's got loads of court. He's obviously run well at Newbury several times, forming deeper ground. Gets a positive ride too, because although this is a big field handicap and not even a chase, it's a race where horses off the front do really well. It tends to be running soft ground. You tend to run a lot more efficiently when you're not in among horses. You know, loads of examples going back of horses that have made all or made most in this race. And Tutti Quanti is a horse that gets ridden fairly forward. So I think he's the sort of horse that he's been, you know, he is top weight, but he's still pretty unexposed. And top weight's only 138. That tells you plenty about the state of 2-mile handicap hurdling. The pipeline's just not there. You know, it's nobody's fault as such. You know, these lots of how many horses that would have been 2-mile hurdlers 10, 15, 20 years ago just are not seeing a hurdle now. They're getting sold abroad or whatever. So, you know, it is in effect, you know, 2 to Quanti aside, this could be a not 135. That's mad to think. But it's a very competitive one. I just think 2 to Quanti's got the right sort of profile and has clearly been saved for it by the Paul Nicholls yard, who, despite plenty, and I'd probably include myself here, sort of lamenting the Nicholls yard slipping off the summit a little bit, the strike rate's still pretty good. They're just running fewer horses. So, you know, it's still there for them, and Tutti Quanti can give them a nice prize, hopefully.
Yeah, interesting point regarding the handicap hurdle as well, the quality of a race. It's the only other thing, Keith, I'd say, is that a lot of those graded races have seemed a lot more winnable this season, with obviously sort of Constitution Hill, who had seemed unbeatable at one point, suddenly seems it. You've not seen Sugino and stuff like that. So the quality of the graded races is a bit more winnable, and maybe that's had a bit of a knock-on effect as well. But still, Tutti Quanti is Keith's selection. What's yours, Ed, in the William Hill Hurdle?
Yeah, first of all, we're going extra place on this race, as you would expect, competitive handicap. But I was nodding away to what Keith was saying. I don't think it's as deep as the race it used to be a few years ago, and the handicap mark of those at the top end of the handicaps seems to suggest that as well. I think this race will be, as Keith says again, there's horses that like to go from the front. There's always a fast pace. Joyeuse last year, as you remember, he stalked on the inside and then produced a potent turn of foot on obviously a well-handicapped horse and won easily. But I think a fast-run race will suit Ersan Alavi, if my French is up to scratch. He's only had 4 runs over hurdles, and he hasn't got a fast pace in any of those races. I think he'll be better. The way he travels and the way he jumps, I just get the feeling a fast-run race, a better race, will suit this one. I like the way that he's being campaigned as well. Nigel Twiston Davis used to farm this race, or probably a wrong word, but he's had three winners in the last 12 years, which is no mean feat in a competitive handicap given where it was a few years ago. And he's won it twice of those three times with novices, Ballyandy and Splash of Ginge. And this horse obviously is a novice, and he's been running against the right horses. Last time he won as he should have done at Ludlow, but I like the way he travelled, I like the way he jumped, I like the way he went away under tender handling. That'll give him a confidence booster. He'll come here in great form. Before that, he was giving £3, was it, to old Park Star, and that's he might mean £6 actually, but he was giving a lot of weight to the horse and was only beaten three lengths by him, and that horse is proving all the rage at the moment. Has been the banker for many at Cheltenham Festival. So, yeah, I think the profile of On San Alaviz is actually perfect for a race like this. A lightly raced novice, lowly weighted, relatively speaking, only 130 rated. And he's £2 ahead of the handicapper as it stands. So, you know, the handicapper has already got him on 1-3-2 for this early closing race. So I thought there's a lot of positives. The price is a little bit skinnier maybe than I thought. But yeah, I'll be all in on Ansan Alavi, which means that I think it means purpose to life. And the purpose of this Saturday will be to bet on Sir Alavi as big a price as I possibly can.
Very good, Ed. Well, once again, I'm 100% with you, just as I was last week with JPR1. Let's hope, fingers crossed, that we have the same joy this weekend. That's Ed's selection. It's also mine. What's yours, Matt?
Yeah, I'm with Ansan Alavi as well. It was a to and fro between me from when I got up this morning. I was looking at when the decks came, and I was like, "Oh, do I want to side with Tutti Quanti or Ansan Alavi?" And I just find Ansan Alavi's profile just a slightly bit more appealing. I am worried Tutti Quanti off top weight of 12 stones. I agree with what everyone said about the state of 2 mile handicaps at this stage. Well, this current stage is usually another. If you want one to defy a top weight, it's got to be a top-class horse. And I don't think Tutti Quanti is that. But, yeah, fascinated by Ansan Alavi. I supported him at Cheltenham's October meeting, and that went slightly wrong, but he's bounced back since. And it does feel like ever since he was running up to Old Park Star, the Twiston Davies Yard have nailed this as the target as well. And Ed was right. He was given Old Park Star £6. It was a really, really good run. And he behind him that day quite comprehensively was a grade 2/3, and Fortune Timmy, I think, was on trials day might have been in the dramatic Holgate race. So that's very, very solid, promising up and coming novice form. As you said, we've seen the Twiston Davies Yard strike with those really good novices they get in Al Dancer, Ballyandy as well. Took this, so I'm very much in the Ansan Alavi camp in ERI. It's a very, very winnable race.
Certainly is, Matt. It's a quality race, but certainly not as star-studded as we're used to. So two shouts for Usain Sonair and Keith is with Tutti Quanti. Let's head to Warwick. And the first of three races we're going to be previewing there is the 1:15. You get the best odds with Oddschecker Warwick, Mayor's Hurdle, which is a listed contest. And Tutti Conti's trainer, Paul Nichols, has the favourite here in Jubilee Alpha at even money. Hollygrove Chacha at 100-30, along with La Peace on Air for Nicky Henson. Flying Fortune at 13-2 and Annalise at 20-1. Now, no selection from Keith, no selection from Matt. So you are going to hold it all for us. Ed, what have you got for us?
Well, I like this race. I kind of spent a bit of time in it because I have a strong opinion. I'm against Jubilee Alpha, who is the odds-on favourite and deserves to be the odds-on favourite because she is rated much higher than her competitors here. But I don't like the way she's been finishing her races recently. She's been running on ITV cards, so we've had the luck to have gone through many of the races that she's running. I think there's a reason you can take her on at odds-on because I just don't like the way she's been finishing her races. She should win on ratings. She really should. She's miles clear. And because of that, I've been looking at the other runners. Now, La Pinsonnière from Nicky Henderson's yard. I know this mare from last year. They were keen to run in the mare's race at Newbury, the grade two race, back end of March. And she did run in that and she finished half a length second. And I know they were getting ready for that all year round. They really wanted to win that race. I got the feeling they're going for that race again. And she's better on faster ground. So it'll be soft ground here. So I think Le Pin Sonnier will, all these French horses I struggle with. But I think Le Pin Sonnier is going to need the run and has a meeting at Newbury in the back end of March in mind on better ground. Flying Fortune, we haven't seen this one since she won, the first mare to ever win the Unibet Persian War at Chepstow in 2024. So that's over 480 days ago. They can get them fit, as we all know, the Bowens, but I'd be willing to take her on because of that. So I don't think Annalise can win. She's too far away from all these with official ratings and where she is in terms of the conditions of the race. So the one that I'm left with, and also the one that I like, is Holly Grove Cha-Cha, who's been running over fences of late. And she scared herself at Windsor last time out. If you watch the race, she was well back to win a good race at Windsor. And she jumped the second or third really badly, and then she ballooned the next one, and her confidence went. So it's no surprise that she's come back hurdling, where she has got a pretty good record. I think she's 3 from 5 over hurdles for Jamie Snowden, who's having a fantastic year, and whose RTF at the moment is 60%. So his horses are in good form. And, the softer the ground, the better for Holly Grove Cha-Cha. She's won 3 out of 3 on heavy ground and 2 out of 3 on soft. So I think there's lots of positives, especially the price. So the final piece of the jigsaw is the price. And I think if you can get 3 to 1 or more on Holly Grove Cha-Cha, I think it's a really good bet.
Okay, I'm against you here, Ed. I think Jubilee Alpha's the one to be on side. I just think with the Nichols Yard starting to fly, she might just find that little bit of improvement from what's been a good season. She would have won at Wincanton in her first start if she hadn't made a mistake at the last against Sweet Caroline. That was the 115. Let's move on to the 150. The Bet Smarter with Odds Checker, Kingmaker, Novices Chase. Just the three runners here, but another clue for the Arkle and perhaps rivals to Lalamba. Your favourite at even money is Mambo No. 5, Steel Alley at 6 to 5, and Mirabad at 7 to 1. Just the three runners here, Keith. Would you be with or against his favourite Mambo No. 5? And will this race have any bearing on the Arkle, do we think?
Well, it's Lulamba's sort of got the alcohol on his racket a bit, hasn't he? But I do suspect that Steel Ally might be the second best British novice hurdle chaser this year. Really impressive, Ascot. It was a weak race for a grade two, but he finished at 105% finishing speed, so he's going like 3-4 lengths a second faster from 3 out than he is for the race as a whole. And that's pretty good anywhere, but it's really good at Ascot because they're probably going up 50 feet in that time. You know, it's a real climb to the finish from 3 out at Ascot. I was very impressed with him. RPR's 156, that's more than good enough to win this race most of the time. Mambo No. 5 is a horse I like. I get wheeled out on spotlights now and again, about 4 or 5 races a year. One of them tends to be a wayward lad, and I put up Mambo No. 5. I thought Kempton would suit him, and it does. But the way his races have been run this season has suited a horse like him. He tends to get held up. He likes a strong pace. He likes to go an even gallop at a flat track. There's 3 novices going at Warwick here with a bajillion fences down the back. I don't think they're going to go at it very early here. I can see them having a bit of a play around. And if that happens, you want a horse that can pick up. And a horse that can finish 105 at Ascot can pick up. So for me, Steel Alloy should be the one that's odds on in this race. But yeah, it's Mambo No. 5 that's currently favourite. So the market needs a correction, in my view.
Okay, the market's got it wrong. Matt, what's your virtue? With or against Keith Suver?
Yeah, I'm with Keith as well, actually. Yeah, it was a bit of a flip of the coin at the minute, but more confident in Steel Ally now. Yeah, and it was probably a weak grade two for its level at Ascot, but he absolutely thumped them. And also, the third No Questions Asked has won the Lightning Novices Chase since. Jack's June has bolted up in a Sandown Handicap Chase, so then it'll be the best grade two in the world, but it's producing winners as well. I just think, I know he's got to give £2 away to Mambo No. 5, but on official ratings, he's £4 better than him. So yeah, Steel Ally for me. I think he's a really good horse, and you say make the most of it when he's not the favourite.
Yeah, certainly can, Matt. So 2 selections for Steel Alley. Now we'll come to you, Ed. I've got to admit, whenever there's a musical sort of named horse on the show, Ed, I don't half worry what you're going to come out with. So what's your verdict on the Kingmaker?
Well, Mambo number five, as you know, was number one in the UK charts in 1999. And he has won three races this year already. I thought this was a fascinating race. I really did. I just the three runners, but the two that are, you know, vying for favouritism, both have aspirations for Arkle success. And funny enough, although they're kind of 11 to 10 each or two, or thereabouts, there's a massive difference in the betting for the Arkle. Member number five is 14 to 1, still Allies 33. So your question about will it have an effect on the Arkle betting, I think Steve, still Ally wins, it'll be half those prices. And I wouldn't put anyone off backing still Ally at 33s, 25s for the Arkle before this run, because I'm in agreement. I think still Ally will win. And I think for a couple of reasons. I think, first of all, Steve Ally beat number five stable mate, has been mentioned, no question asked. They're roughly the same sort of horse on official ratings. I think one's 144, one's 146. Still Ally really, you know, as Keith so eloquently put, you know, really did finish strongly that day and went away from the Ben Pauling horse. I also like the way Still Ally jumped. He jumped a bit novicely the first couple of fences at Ascot, but, you know, it's the difficult place to go and jump for his second time ever over fences. And he finished with a fantastic leap at the last going away. I think the race will be run to suit. I think he'll take the... I know the other horse in the race has led and sometimes does take a bit of a hold, but I think Still Ally will either lead or just follow a horse that's going a yard too quickly. And we all know that Mambo number five has to come off a fast pace. He's done that at Newbury and he did that at Kempton. He was last coming into the straight at Kempton in the grade two, Wayward Lad, and he steamed home and he actually held the course record for a good 35 minutes at Kempton before it was taken away in the very next race by Thistleask. But that just goes to show flat track and speed probably is what he's all about, but he does need a fast pace to show it. And, you know, you can see him stalking the two leaders, but I just think Still Ally is a really good bet. I agree. I think it's a really good bet. And also, I think 33 to the Arkle would be a very good price come the end of this race.
Okay, well, as I mentioned before, we were all in agreement with JPR1, who won at 5-1. We're all in agreement for this race. Hopefully that bodes well for Saturday. Let's move on to the last race we're looking at. This is the 225 at what? The Unibet Middle Distance Series Veterans Handicap Chase. As we know, this is a series qualifier for the big one at Haydock worth 100 grand. Ed, we'll have to start with you. Another good lineup for the big race. We've got Lamilos here at 5-2, Napa's Hill 3-1, Grand Adam at 4s, Guard Your Dreams 9-2, Fugitive 9-1, Lord Baddersley 12s, and Outlaw Peter at 16s. All the familiar names, Ed.
There are familiar names apart from one in this type of race, and that's the one that I'm going for, Napa's Hill. We spoke earlier on, or Keith did, about Paul Nichols. I think the wily old Nichols has played an absolute corker here. Quite a few trainers have taken this option of waiting till the new year to run a horse in these series because you've got to be 10, 11 or 12. So Napa's Hill is now 10. There's the final in April at Haydock worth £100,000. This is the penultimate qualifier. So only one more at Market Raisin on the 3rd of March to come to get your horse into the final at Haydock. And Napa's Hill, I think, on past experience, past form, he I know Lamilos won a Coral Gold Cup, and on past experience, a lot of these horses, Fugitive, would have a good chance. But Napa's Hill was a really good hurdler. He won the silver trophy, didn't he, off 141, I think. He's still rated 145. I was there when he made his bumper debut at Chepstow. I was there when he made his novice debut at Chepstow. He's a horse that they've always thought a lot of. And he's only had four chases. It's unbelievable to think. I wrote a note here. It was only four runs ago that he ran in a Rising Star novices chase. And now he's in a middle distance veterans chase. So he's gone from a Rising Star to a veteran in four runs. I think he's been well placed. I think he'll go really well. And he's my selection.
Okay. Napa's Hill is Ed's selection at 3-1. What's your verdict here, Keith?
Napa's Hill was last off the shortlist. I think I can beat Ed's claim of Rising Stars to veterans in four runs. I think Snoopy Loopy, if you remember him, I think he ran on a novice after he ran on a veterans race. that summer where he won loads of races. I think that's right. I'll need to double check it, but he was certainly, you know, he was a late bloomer and he had that sort of scope to do something like that. But yeah, so Napper's Hill was last of the shortlist, but I think a horse that has, I mean, he's run like a horse that's working back to fitness on his two runs after being off for 2 years. So he's obviously caught plenty of eyes to be the sort of price he is. I think as a result, they've pushed out Grand Ardan too much. This horse has been competing in better races, isn't quite good enough for your December Gold Cups and your, you know, your Premier Handicaps over 2.5 at Cheltenham. But you can bet he's going back to the one in December now that he's 10, and he'll start by running in this, and he'll probably stick in these middle distance veteran races from here on. It's just a horse that he's well handicapped. He's been running in better races. He was third in the race in New Year's Day last time, which, yes, was fairly weak for the money, but, you know, that level of form is more than good enough in a lot of these veterans races, and the price on him was a little bit big on account of, you know, everybody thinking they're wise getting on Napper's Hill, and, you know, I can completely understand it. I just think he's maybe been a little bit overbet relative to a horse whose form is all there in Grand Ardan.
Okay, the market overlooking Grand Ardan, but keepers not. He is 4-2-1. And finally, Matt, finish us off.
I'm in wholehearted agreement with Keith. I think the price on Grand Ardan is very, 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 very enticing. As Keith said, I think it was a good run in, you know, in Premier Handicap Company last time. Not the best Premier Handicap chase we're going to get, but it was working back in the right way. And the handicap has just dropped him back to where I think it's a very workable mark. Yeah, he won off this at Chepstow in the autumn of 2024 off his mark of 1.32. He's gone down £2 for his last run. And he's £4 lower than when he was beaten ahead in a really good Premier Handicap chase on Trials Day last year. Just think of all the signs are there that he's dropped in the weights. He's working his way back to form. He's in weaker company. He's in veterans company as a 10-year-old. I just think it's all pointing towards the right direction for him. So I'm very much strongly with Grand Ardan.
Okay, thank you very much. That sums up all of the ITV action. Do make sure to join us after this short break for selections elsewhere and those all-important naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, let's move on just before we go to those naps to some selections elsewhere. And we're going to start with you, Matt, because before we get to the weekend action, what have you got lined up on Friday night? Tell us where you're going.
I'm off to Friday Night Live at Newcastle, the delayed start of Friday Night Live. We're finally back in action. Obviously, the Ark and Arena Race Company Racing Post supporting it in conjunction to hopefully spice up our Friday nights even more than they are now. And look, I'm all for change in the sport. I think the sport is so resistant to change a lot of the times. I think you've got to try something like that. And having the opportunity to get younger people into the sport, you know, through, you know, on Friday nights, which meetings, let's be honest, if it wasn't for this and invades and bringing in the students and younger people, we're likely to be attended by 40, 50, 60 people and maybe a nice golden retriever or something like that. So I'm all for change. I'm really excited to see how it's going to go, really. The fields look really, really good as well. The prize money has been rightly put up for it as well. So there's going to be some cracking contests, and it just feels like it'd be a really feel-good atmosphere, which in these cold winter months, it's a nice welcome change.
Absolutely is. And if anyone is there, just remember Matt is a big Sunderland fan at Newcastle. So good luck getting out of there. Any other selections, Matt?
Yes, one race to take note of at Nace, the 105. It's I believe it's the rated novices hurdle or rated juvenile hurdle for the 4-year-olds, and it does have a big bearing on the Cheltenham Festival, or has done in the last decade or so. Yeah, the 1.5 mile furlong rated hurdle, which has produced 3 Fred Winter three Fred Winters winners in the last decade in Band of Outlaws, Aramax and Brazil. So it's a race you have to keep in a notebook. And Highland Crystal's going for Gordon Elliott in that, a mare. She was really impressive in Philly's juvenile hurdle at Newbury during the Coral Gold Cup meeting. But she has to give £3 to Kilmeaden, who's for Donnacher O'Brien, who you'd usually associate Joseph with running what would be his Fred Winter horse in this race. But seems like Donnacher's taken the mantle now, because it was his very first jumps winner as well, was Kilmeade, and he did it in good style at Punchestown. And you just feel like them, Donnacher and Joseph, when they get a target in their mind, they're very, very on it. And he could be, you know, Donnacher's first Cheltenham Festival runner in the Fred Winter. So I'll be keeping an eye on him. I'll be definitely have a couple of pennies in him as well. Obviously, there's one in there, Saratoga, former Aidan O'Brien runners in there as well for Padraig Roche, who won this with Brazil a couple of years ago before winning the Fred Winter. So it's one of those unheralded and underrated sort of festival trial races where you could get a little bit more insight into what's usually an absolute nightmare in trying to find the winner of the Fred Winter. So yeah, Kilmeaden for me in the 105 at Nace.
Okay, not so much underrated having you flagged that, and that is the Hallgarten and Oven Wines Juvenile Handicap Hurdle. That's Saratoga, it, yeah. The shortest of the runners in that, a 10-1 with Unibet for the big one at the Cheltenham Festivals. Thanks very much for that, Matt. Keith, what else has caught your eye?
Well, I'm looking forward to that Friday night meeting in Newcastle. It's actually a pretty good card. And a colleague of mine, Graham Rodway, in typical Graham Rodway style, he said, I'd rather bet that Newcastle card than a DRF. And typical for Graham, he's not as wrong as you think. It's a really good card, actually. And just another point. I did look up Snoopy Loopy, and it's even better than I made out. It's brilliant. On 11th of April 2008, he ran in the K-Lift Veterans Handicap Chase at Ascot. And then 18 days later, he won the Sendrig Construction Young Chasers Series Final at Sedgefield. So yeah, that's fine. Rising stars to veterans in four runs. That was a weird old season. That was the same year, for those that have not got long enough memories, 7 months after that Sedgefield race, he won the Betfair Chase. That was a strange horse. What a story that was. I'm sure they'll tell it in the post one day if they haven't before. But yeah, so go back and look at Snoopy Loopy for a bit of a roller coaster of a 2008. Anyway, bets this weekend. More talking about that, aren't we? There's a horse with two entries that I think I might take him on whichever one he runs in. It seems like it for David Pipe, a horse that has had, I think, loads of breeding ups and just generally has been a horse that hasn't always taken his racing very well. On a hat trick now, so he's going to be popular. But eventually, you know, there are some horses you're going to back-to-back races up, back-to-back-to-back. He's not one. And he's entered at Newbury and Uttoxeter. That's not the main reason I'm betting in the Newbury race. I do think Knight of Allen has been overlooked in the betting quite a bit. He's got the course form. He's up in trip now, but this is a race I tend to like. And yeah, Gene Williams is having a good season. This horse is really unexposed and progressive, and he just gets overlooked compared to horses that, you know, like Silver Thorn's been winning weak races, Jigs Four's been winning weak races. They could all be good horses, but Knight of Allen's form's got as much depth of any of them and should be heavily respected in that 355 at Newbury. The other race that seems like it's entered in is a 232 at Uttoxeter. That's a much weaker race. If I was the yard, I'd be running him in this instead, because it looks much more winnable. And against him in that race, I'd probably look at Grand Albert for Don McCain, who he's only had two runs this year. He ran behind Newton Tornado, who I fancy for the National Hunt Chase at Bangor on his reappearance. And then he turned up in the Tommy Whittle behind Grand Jest, and he was out the back in midwinter ground at Haydock. You don't win races doing that. He came through, didn't get the hardest time in the world, and came through to finish fifth in that race. You know, he probably was only beaten about seven lengths by everything else apart from the winner, who absolutely scooshed in that day, having made all. So yeah, the other two for me, I'd be looking at Knight of Allen in the 355 at Newbury and Grand Albert in the 232 at Uttoxeter.
Thank you very much, Keith. And just before we come on to those best bets, Ed, tell us the offers you've got for us this weekend.
Oh, blimey. Right, here we go. Looking at his notebook very quickly. Right, the first one we've got is the money back second on the 135 at Newbury. That's the Appare de Nom race, the Stayers Handicap Hurdle. Money back second on that race. We've then got an extra place in the big race of the 320, the Handicap Hurdle. That's the one, the very competitive handicap hurdle at the end of the ITV card. And we've also got Super Boost on the Game Spirit, and that's at 2:45 with Lulumba and Co. So three ITV offers, but we've got plenty of other offers that are non-ITV races. Just go to the site unibet.co.uk to find out all of Saturday's offers.
Okay, let's move on to our best bets. A 5-1 winning nap on the show last weekend, courtesy of JPR1. Can we do it all again? And Keith, let's start off with you. Your best bet this weekend is?
It's not going to be as big as 5-1, I'm afraid, but it's Steel Ally in the Kingmaker at Warwick. He's still a shade of odds against, but you can keep backing him until he's about 4-6, because that's the price he deserves to be.
In the 150 at Warwick, Matt?
225 at Warwick, the veterans, Granite Boy, Granger, Darm for me. Looks like everything's falling right. The handicap's finally giving him a good chance to get back to winning ways.
I'm going to head to Newbury. 1 o'clock at Newbury, Sober Glory, the class act in the field, and just a big price. I think too big a price indeed. A lot of these have reputations. He's got the solid form in the book, so he's the one for me. Sober Glory in the 1 o'clock at Newbury. And Ed, you had that 5-1 winning nap last weekend. What have you got for us this one?
Yeah, final race on ITV, 3:20, the big handicap hurdle. Go for a Twist and Davis again to win this for the third time in the last 12 years with Hassan Alavi, who will be around about 5-1 again. So I'm hoping lightning strikes twice.
Thank you very much for that one, Ed. And that leads us to the end of the show. Do make sure to join us again next Thursday for another big preview of the weekend action. It's a busy Saturday, as always, in this fine part of the jump season. We've got the Ascot Chase to look forward to over there. We've got Haydock with the Grand National Trial, of course, the William Hill 100, £500,000 bonus there, and the Kingwell Hurdle, which did indeed produce the champion hurdle winner just 12 months ago. Thank you very much for watching along, as well as our panelists, Matt Rennie, Keith Melrose, and Ed Nixon. Do make sure to join us again. But for now, have a fantastic weekend. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.